it back. He was, look at his steal. Here's the steal. Three on one. Alley-oop. Oh, my goodness. Marcus Mizzen. And you certainly are in love with him here in Louisville. Marcus in the open floor. Hops. Incredible.
Get up, get up, get up, get up. Let's get ready for Marcus Maven. You're about midway to the midday with Marcus Maven. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And we have official jersey numbers. I'm late to the party. Steve Robinson at the crib. Nikki V in the booth.
Yeah, man. Jersey numbers. I'm excited about that. I know we want to have a big conversation about that. I'm still just a little gun shy on, look, I'm almost there. It's like, I feel like I'm one tick away. Does that make sense? Like, where it's like, I think I'm there, but I'm like, just one more. So I'm still eating nice and light and, you know, just kind of just taking everything.
You've been running back and forth to the scale, haven't you, Steve?
Listen.
Come on, Steve.
You won't believe it. I took pictures. I'm going to show y'all the numbers. I'm not even going to talk about it on air because I don't want the text line to be like,
yeah, it's his water weight. You're probably way more than you did before. So here in a couple weeks.
You didn't want to pay. You try to be great.
Yeah. Hey, did Nick come in today?
What's up, buddy?
He actually did, Steve.
He did.
Oh, I was busy. I was busy working last night, so I didn't watch the debacle of the douche and turd sandwich. So
I didn't know if he would come. Ah, that's the. I noticed that's the response from Nick's side last night.
I'm listening, Steve.
It was funny how quick everybody went. Oh, I mean, they're both terrible. They're both terrible. Oh, I mean, this is terrible. Oh, look, both of them are so bad. It's like, oh, okay. So now they're both just bad. Okay, I got you. I got you. I noticed that. I noticed about 400 of those tweets. Like, yeah. I mean, they're just both terrible. It's
like, what's your argument? Like, I don't get what a roast that is. Like,
just you know how everybody has been so pro a certain person, and then, you know, you go on stage and get embarrassed last night and how quickly it turned into, I mean, they're just both bad. It's just terrible. I mean, this is the best we got in America. It's like, oh, so now we're just, it's both ours. Yeah.
I didn't see it. Was it. How bad was it? Like, seriously,
no,
I was at the restaurant.
It was awful. It was. I mean, they at one point they were arguing about their golf game.
Oh my god.
I think Biden one time accused Trump of sleeping with a porn star, and he was like, "I did not sleep with a porn star." And I was like, "What are we doing here? This is a presidential debate." Look.
Did chemtrails come up
Trump,
in the conversation?
They did not.
Okay,
they did not. But
that's all. My two political.
He can tend to stretch the truth sometimes, and Biden can't stretch anything that comes out of his mouth because it just kind of falls out of his mouth.
All I needed was chemtrail address and border control.
Those are your two major talking points.
Yeah, we did get a lot of border control.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that phrase doesn't work anymore. You can't call it border control anymore, can you?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's
citizenship. At this point.
We've thrown PC out the window from 10 to noon, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, but.
Fabulous one, Phil Baker, just passed along this clip. So, I don't know. Let's see if this is funny or not. I haven't previewed it. Let's see.
Let it go. I trust Phil. About?
You have the morals of an alley cat.
Give me a minute, sir.
I didn't have sex with a porn star.
That was great.
That's a presidential debate.
The morals of an alley cat. I didn't have sex with a porn star. That's, yeah.
Is this like, where we are?
This is where we are, man. Yeah, this is where we are. It was.
I can't even look up in my sky.
I'll say this, and then we'll move on. I think what the country united last night in is whether it's Republican or Democrat, Joe Biden cannot be president again. Like, I think that's what, I mean, seriously, like, even I think on the Democratic side, I think even they were like, this cannot happen. Like, it don't have to be Trump. It don't have to be a Republican, but it can't be him. You know, like, yeah, you
that was the only thing, like, you were making it sound like everyone, like, on my side, quote unquote, was rallying that he was the second coming. And I think a lot of people are just like, I think we're more on that side of like, really, this is borderline unsafe at this point.
Yeah, it's getting
borderline unsafe.
Well, I mean, if you're not,
hey, Marcus,
if you're not super comfortable with him behind the wheel of a car, I'm not sure you want him with the button. You know what I'm saying?
The post, his post press conference, his wife was on stage and she said, "Joe, you did a great job. You answered every question." That's what she said.
Unsafe.
Yeah, like, he answered every question. Like,
borderline unsafe.
I don't like the other guy. I would say it's borderline unsafe with him too, but for different reasons. Like I said, if you're not comfortable with the guy behind the wheel of a car,
the problem is I have to interact with society, right? And I haven't been able to interact with society. Borderline unsafe. I've had a problem since Building 7. and I don't know what to do. So, moving from that straight to nepotism.
Let's go.
Oh, sweet. These are back-to-back right in my wheelhouse. Let's go. Yeah.
Let's go from one to the other.
What say you, Nikki, on Bronny James? The floor is yours.
All right. So, I mean, the headline right now, ESPN's Bob Meyer saying Rich Paul called teams to not draft Bronny.
Time out, Nikki. Time out. I got to unwrap this baby. slow and sure. I need to know this.
Yeah.
You were prepared for myself or Steve to bring nepotism conversation within the first hour of the show. Yay or nay?
No, but I figured Bronny would be a topic. Okay. I just wasn't sure of that. Yeah.
Okay. I cut you off. Nikki, the floor is yours.
Okay. So on one hand,
tread lightly now.
No. On one hand, I got to look out for my fellow Nepo baby. But I feel like Rich Paul was doing, like a necessary service, I guess, calling other teams and being like, look, there's nothing in it for you if you draft Bronny, because he's going to go to Australia and Bron's not coming, so you're wasting a pick. So basically, this was L.A. wasting a pick to do something cool for LeBron and Bronny, like, you know, so, and make history and have now they'll have their Griffey moment. It'll be fun. But to them, that was worth burning a second-round pick for. So, like, on one hand, it's sort of like, I don't really have a major feeling about it one way or the other. I mean, I'm happy. I think it'll be cool that they can have that Griffey moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a Nepo baby, yeah, I'm happy for him.
Right.
But on the other hand, I feel like they did this with taking the least amount of casualties possible.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when you're a Nepo baby and you realize you're doing Nepo baby things, but you're hurting the least amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like, somehow I feel like it's justified.
So it's like you're not
taking, or it's not as bad.
You're not taking anybody's job in radio because you're good enough to be in radio.
Right. Like,
you're not just like totally costing someone their job.
Like, I sleep well at night knowing that, yeah, I'm a Nepo baby, but legitimately we were hiring somebody because my buddy Moon Mullins was going to go shoe horses. So there just happened to be an open spot for me.
Okay.
And I was the only one who applied.
Okay.
So, you know. Nepo baby.
Okay.
Didn't hurt anybody.
So how do you respond to that, Steve?
Well, just listening in there. And I will say, I don't totally disagree with Nick. I do think that the Lakers just decided that, hey, man, like, let's do this. And here's the thing, though. I think Stephen A. said it yesterday. He said, you know, it's not just – this is where I was going to say, maybe I'll say the phrasing Nick used a little bit is where I'll disagree just a touch, because I don't know that it's just wasting a pick, because you're not going to get a – LeBron, you're giving LeBron almost a second wind right now. Like, you might
get – That's a good point.
Yeah, you might get a better version of LeBron – then you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah.
One last – sorry, I was turning my headphones down a touch. You may be able to get, like, a better version of LeBron than you could have ever asked for at this age, because he's going to have – I mean, the motivational factor of having your son out there with you is insane. Like, to me, it's not really wasting a pick. Like, I think you said, hey, we got Dalton Connect in the first round, which was a steal.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second round, I'm going to take Bronny because he could be good down the line at some point. I mean, you know, his genes are there. His potential's there. I mean, if you want to talk about potential. And it's going to upgrade LeBron. I mean, to me, that's a pretty good pick.
Do you not think Bronny's good?
Yeah, I think Bronny's good. I think Bronny's not ready for the NBA. I don't think many people think he's ready to play in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he's a star. But I mean, nobody – here's my thing, though. Nobody cares if you were to pick Andrade Slagovic from Serbia, and it's like, well, they're going to store him over there for 3 or 4 years.
It's funny you say that. I was saying the same thing yesterday. I'm like, we see picks all the time that are considered, you know, hey, this guy might not come here just yet. You know, put him in there. He's going to be on an upper trajectory.
Yeah.
But they're always the overseas guy.
Yeah. Now, imagine, like, it was Dirk's son and he was in Germany. Everybody'd be like, man, that's a great pick.
Just tuck him like, away.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the genes he has and everything, we're going to tuck him away. Well, what's the big deal with taking Bronny James and saying, what's LeBron's kid? He wasn't bad in the Pac-12.
And he looks like he works.
He looks like he's got the work ethic. He looks like he's got everything. So it's like, why would we not take him and store him in the G League for a couple years?
And I don't, you know what, too? I don't know how many people actually have watched him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Like, you get the number about his points average, and it's like, yeah, okay. This is like, Bronny James is a perfect example of, like, why you say, don't go to college if you can avoid it if you're a foreigner.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Cuz yeah, it's a different game. You're in a different, you know, I remember Jalen telling me how much easier it is with the NFL NFL has the skinnier box, right? The hash marks, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. From side to side.
Yeah, NFL is right in the middle, or, you know, or middle in the college are wide hash marks, right? The college has wide hash, right?
That's right. College, it's wider.
Yep.
NFL, it's kind of right up the middle of the field.
Yeah, even something like that, you know, Jalen was talking about, that's probably the biggest difference. Like, you got to be on one side of the field or another side of the field. It just warps your ability to play defense a certain way. So something like a pro environment, the spread, you know, a spread out system in pros might help him be able to show what he can do a little more than, you know, being in college floors are tight, man, compared to pro floors.
Oh, absolutely. So, well, and again, you're going to be working side by side with your dad. And listen, you want to think about this for a good situation. You also remember they were bringing this up. I think it was Wojnarowski brought this up. He said the Lakers G League team is basically in the same facility. He's like, whereas a lot of G League teams are in different markets completely. He's like, the Lakers actually, their G League team actually practices in the same facility as the Lakers.
Mm.
So he's like, I mean, you're if you look at all the factors outside of I just hate LeBron and it's nepotism and I'm mad now. You know, like outside of that, it's like it's actually not that bad of a pick. I mean, it makes sense for the Lakers to do it. You know, I mean, and it doesn't, it's the best situation for him. Now, it is unfortunate, even though I understand what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
it is unfortunate that the Rich Paul stuff kind of, because then it turns into the little Eli Manning-ish, you know, where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, you know, like calling teams, like don't draft him, you know, like, okay.
Or do you just take that call and say, yeah, don't worry about it?
Well, I saw somebody tweeted. They were like, Rich Paul's calling GMs, and they're like, yeah, we're way ahead of you, buddy.
We're
not taking him, trust me. I mean, when guys like Justin Edwards and Trenton Flowers, and I mean, Justin Edwards was like the number one or two player in the country coming out of high school and didn't even get picked. Like, just last year, you're talking about a consensus top three player. Didn't even get picked in the draft.
Golly.
Like, that's insane.
That's how wide of a range
yeah.
the opinions on the same kind of player could be.
Yeah, and he went to Kentucky. Like, I mean, like, so you had a stage. Like, I cannot believe somebody didn't just like, oh, I'm going to take him. You know, or I mean,
Justin
even Trent.
Edwards. Yeah, Trent Flowers did not even go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of guys when you look. I mean, I saw Burns signed with, which I didn't think he would get drafted, but he signed with the Cavs. I mean, there's a lot of names out there that you were like, man, they didn't even get picked. Like, it's crazy.
I mean, is it like you think there's just the scouts up close? They're just saying your upside's not high enough for us, or is it like skill development now? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I mean, gosh, I don't know. I mean, again, I said, to me,
too much individual trainer stuff going on.
Well, I mean, to me, with like a kid like Edwards, it always makes you wonder. I mean, I know Cal's not at Kentucky anymore, but there's always the, okay, well, why weren't you good there? Like, what happened there? You know, I thought somebody would still take him just based off of, I mean, I'm liable to get you and be like, oh, you can do all this? Like, there's a reason he was dominant in high school, you know, and then got to college and was just kind of eh.
Or unless you just go through the kid's background and just, I mean, I guess you would have heard about that. Oh, if you like,
I'm kind of surprised AJ Johnson got picked in the first round and Trenton Flowers didn't even go.
That's what I'm saying, because that means you obviously have a respect for the league.
Like, what was their stat differential?
Let's see.
I was gonna say, yeah, Nick. Could you see that? Because they played in like the same league or something like.
But or maybe it's just that it goes back to that point guard thing. It was. AJ Johnson, you saw him more of as a real point, which made this, you know, his size a factor.
Yeah.
And Trenton just probably more as like a three.
Yeah, and Trenton, I guess him.
I thought he was a point guard.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Trenton Flowers said that he was a point guard.
Yeah. He went over there and got shredded in a game or two and was like, all right, I'm done.
It's hard to play point, Steve.
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is interesting. All right. Well, who do you want first?
True point versus bringing it up. Go ahead.
Who do you want, AJ Johnson or Trent Flowers?
AJ Johnson.
AJ Johnson stats. Playing for the Illawarra Hawks. Averaged 2.9 points, 0.7 assists, 1.3 boards, 37% field goal percentage.
Wait, what? Who?
AJ Johnson.
How many points?
2.9. In 2023-2024.
Okay, go to Trenton.
Trenton Flowers averaged 5.2 points, 0.4 assists, 2.9 rebounds, and shot 46% from the field for the Adelaide 36ers.
These numbers can't be right, right?
Well, or just again, Trenton's, I have to play point guard, and it's like when you got exposed for ball handling like that early, that Jonathan Givony was at that game. Mm-hmm. He's the one wrote the article. And it's political, man. The draft is political. And if Jonathan Givony wrote that article when he watched Trenton Flowers play point guard and was like, it's not good, then that could be just that. That's the last thing, you know, people are like, he sucks. And you move on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, that was a kid tried to play point guard. Yeah, he wasn't very good.
So you think that really, that failed experiment is what kept him out of the league?
I think so, or kept him out of the draft.
At least. Yeah, right.
He signed with the Clippers, so he's going to get a shot. But, yeah, I mean, no, I think that article, when you look back on it, is like, yeah, no, that cost you, man. Now, the bigger question is, would he have been drafted higher if he had stayed here?
Right.
I don't know, because I don't know what kind of impact he makes on the team. I don't know if we're better with it. You know, I mean, but it does. Marcus and I were talking yesterday about the what is it? The do you stay here? Do you go overseas?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's like, that's a big strike against going over to Australia.
I mean, we can just go back from the beginning. I thought he would be a better ball handler. You know, I thought he'd be able to take care of the ball a little better.
Yeah.
And
he was a reclass, dude. He was really young.
He was a reclass, too. Why did that not help him in the draft?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that should have helped him.
That should have helped propel him. If Connect dropped because he's 23, that should have propelled Flowers.
Yeah. Unless it did not.
You think a former coach of his with NBA connections? Was hating on him behind the scenes?
Yeah. It's probably like, nah. You don't want this guy.
Oh, God. Oh. But, like I said, yeah, he did get picked up with the Clippers. So, like you said, he's going to get his shot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Good for him. I'm glad.
Okay, what do you think if Flowers was in UConn's system?
Oh yeah, Trenton could have been a top. He'd have been a lottery pick. You get that many eyes on you here in that system. Yeah, he would have been a lottery pick.
I'm getting the full gamut here. Bronny's weak. Bronny was fifth highest rated on his high school team. look, LaFlop.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right. You're just getting the whole. Bronny's not good. He's going to the G League. How are they going to play together? My Lakers suck. It's time to blow. Stop. Wait. Stop. Bowing to LaFlop.
I love LaFlop. That is fantastic.
Oh, okay. So the Bronny situation. Okay, who has the better career, Bronny or Trenton Flowers?
I mean, Bronny, right? Bronny.
he's going to have a different paved road. You know what? I will say this. Okay, put it this way. I don't think Bronny is as, I think he can play, right?
Sure.
I don't think he's super Nepo baby. And again, this is me coming from having more respect than the average person for the Nepo baby that actually is good at what they do.
Oh, thanks, man.
Because of my history with Troy Jackson and Cameron Murray and Nikki V.
Aww.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. I kind of had this little resentment also with the Nepo baby because, let's put it this way. My dad, he's kind of successful in the military. And, you know, that pilot thing, that moves you up the ladder pretty quick. Right?
But, oh, yeah.
But it was like, he was the only one that moved up the ladder really quick. It's like he treated us like like he was infantry. And we were the kids of infantry people when we weren't. we were officers' kids. And the officers' kids got treated really well everywhere they went. And it's like he purposely like didn't want us to be off like officer kids. And I kind of resented that. I was like, come on, Dad. It's like, you know, when Dave Chappelle tells those stories, he's like, we had just enough money that we could be broke around rich people. Right? It was like, that's how my dad made us. Like, yeah, we don't get the benefits of the officer children stuff. Dad, can we get the officer club, you know, pass? Hell no, boy. You go to the officer club. Go down to the hood.
Wearing something.
You're right. It's not fair, Dad. Okay. Oh, wait. Let me make sure. Maybe Flowers can play in a TBT.
That's pretty funny, but no. I don't think.
That's very mean. Brandon, actually, he struggled in the TBT, Steve. That's what's even crazier.
Probably.
I'm like, do people understand that? Like, he'll struggle in the TBT.
Oh, he'll be getting worked by real men.
By real men.
Yeah.
Right in the window that I don't want my guys playing against.
that you don't want. I was going to say, God, don't get Marcus started, okay? We want to sell tickets to the TBT.
Good point, sorry.
Pat Kelsey released a video. Come out and support this TBT. What do you expect the crowd interaction to be like for the TBT this year, Steve?
I think they're gonna do it up big. Yeah, I think I think they're gonna make it a must be at event. I mean, really seriously, I mean, Shaq's gonna be in the house. You know,
he has to be in the house, right?
Yeah. That's why. I mean, you're gonna have.
Does he wait till his team's in the championship? For sure.
I mean, he might. You know, he might not be in Louisville. I don't know, but I would imagine he'll be there at least for some of the later games. I mean, but yeah, no, I think it's they're gonna do it upright, man. Like you're gonna be able to enjoy a night out. Like I don't think you're gonna regret grabbing some tickets and going out to some TBT games. And again. The attendance matters, man, because the attendance is who keeps hosting as it keeps going forward.
Are we going to do some we're going to pull some Deion Sanders Jackson State milk the ticket sales?
Yeah, hey, if we got to. I mean, that's fine. But listen, hey, did you know, though, we do have a promo code?
No, yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so listen up. Speaking of TBT, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can get 15% off your TBT tickets. If you use, are you ready for this? TBT Lou 15. TBT Lou 15. LOU. TBT LOU 15. You get 15% off.
Get your tickets ready.
Yeah.
Also, before we take a quick commercial break, let me do this really quick and pass this along. Normally, this is the part where I would say your home is your fortress and your first line of defense is your roof. Your roof is always under attack by Mother Nature and Father Time. So you definitely need to keep in mind Citadel Roofing and Construction, people. You need things done around your house. You need estimates. You need estimates. You need inspections. They work with your insurance. Make a call. Try them out. Citadel Roofing and Construction. Let me give you this number right now. 502-219-7964. Again, Citadel Roofing and Construction. For all the things you need to get done around your home, check them out. Give them a try. See if it works for you. Quick commercial break. 939 The Ville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Before we get back into the content, let me remind everybody that temperature control is and always will be one of the most valuable resources one could have. If you agree with that sentiment, then DFH Company is most certainly the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222 or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Make sure you look into the Mitsubishi Mini Split, like the one we use here at the 93.9 Studios, sometimes referred to as the Players Club. For that hard to heat, hard to cool room in your home, again, 968-6222, or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. That is funny. Hey,
before we get into the next thing,
that is funny.
Did you see a video I sent you?
Yes.
About Mike Tyson?
Yes.
That video gets me every time. When he didn't know that Hezbollah. It was an actual man.
Grown man.
So, like, Tyson's just, like, kissing on him and, like, ooh,
thinks he's a full, like, grown baby.
Everybody's like, ooh, okay.
He's like, somebody's like, Mike. But still, yeah. Look, and Mike is the only one to get away with that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
It's like, yeah, you just didn't know. Sorry. So, don't take it personal.
Yeah, it's like, whatever.
Okay, so, Steve.
Yes.
I was going to depress you with talking about how much I hated watching the U.S. men's national team lose to Panama last night, but I don't think you actually watched it, did you?
Oh, are you kidding me? My eyes have been locked on Atlanta.
So you'd be... You'd be more.
Isn't that where they're playing?
Yeah,
where
they're playing right Atlanta? Downtown Atlanta.
Okay, all right. That's what I thought. I was like, I don't know if that made any sense.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is more of a nationalist event than.
Yeah, Chase will be back soon.
Yeah. Right. This is talk about. Okay. So Steve, numbers get released.
Oh, you know I was pumped about the numbers.
Pumped
about the numbers. You know the first thing I did, right?
I'm listening, Steve.
I went to number 5.
Oh, no. Steve.
I was like.
You went straight to number 5.
Yeah.
And
well, first.
What did you just say, Steve?
I was like, I hope they didn't leave Marcus off. I was like, I know how fragile you are with that
listen,
stuff.
I knew. I could. You know, it's funny you say that, Steve. I could tangibly feel people praying that they left me off this list.
I'm like, no, y'all don't understand. I'm like, if he got left off that list, I was like, you'd find him out in a yard somewhere in the rain and just about to sepulchre himself.
Steve,
like,
if you want to see Marcus Maben over at that practice facility, the best way to get me to the practice facility would have been to leave me off the list.
Yeah, like what?
Oh, okay.
That is, though. It's sad, though. That is the first thing I looked for, and I wanted to see who it is. But the numbers are interesting. Well, there was a couple interesting leave-offs. I guess we got to talk about that for just a second.
Okay.
I don't want to focus on that part. But
I'm listening.
Well, Andre McGee is not on 33.
Omissions. And, let's use the word omissions.
Yeah. And T-Will.
Andre McGee is omitted from Great 33s. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
You agree with it?
Yes. And T Will for number one.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, when you look into just where it's unfortunate. I'm a little more on the fence with T Will, but it's unfortunate. But just I think there's got to be some sort of a disassociation there at some point where it's like, okay, man, you've really went off the deep end. I mean, he's in prison right now. Am I right about that?
I think he's in prison.
Okay, I was like, I don't want to speak out of turn on that, but I just and again, there's been a lot happen since he's been out of here where it's like, it might be best to just move on from that. So I understand their reasoning for sure.
Yeah. I put it this way. I wouldn't argue about it. If you ask me, I would still put them both on. You know, yeah, like I said, I didn't like, but again, this is me. This is me just saying, you know, I guess I'm a lot forgiving. I'm more forgiving about it.
You're a part of the fraternity. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. You're part of the fraternity. That question is going to be different for you than it's going to be for me.
Yeah, I didn't like Michigan disassociations. I just don't like. Yeah.
I've been a Louisville fan my whole life, like diehard Louisville fan. But it's still different when you put, you know, I mean, you put the jersey on, the basketball jersey, and all that. I mean, so it's different. You know, so yeah, that's why I say that. I totally understand you on that. But James Scott, zero.
Okay, we're starting with James Scott. James Scott is going zero. Okay, is that fitting? Do you like it? Because you know you have to do your imagery, you know. Okay. I'm listening.
It feels weird.
It feels weird because his position?
Yeah, feels a little weird.
Okay.
I don't hate it, though. It might grow on me. I mean, there's been some good zeros, though.
Lamar Fresh Kimball, Noah Locke, Devin Reed, Mike James, Damian Lee, Terry Rozier, George Good, Joshua Tench, Stuart Miller.
Don't you leave off Stuart
Miller. I know. I was just jumping around. Akoya Gow.
So you, yeah.
Where's he going to rank on this?
You're just not going to say VJ King.
I did skip on BJ King.
Yeah,
did
just
I?
Absolutely not.
That BJ wasn't King. that wasn't on purpose. I was just kind of.
No, James Scott has a chance to be really, really good, man. I don't know. The zero, just it feels weird.
Okay,
he won't. Whatever.
Will he have more of an impact on this program than Terry Rozier?
Let him get on the court.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Noah Locke.
God, you sound like poor Pat Kelsey. We'll play his interview later. Poor guy got asked. He got asked 42 times yesterday. People are like, "So who's standing out? Who's the best?" He's like, "I don't know.
Yeah.
It's June,
right? Look, it was the.
I don't know who the leaders are. I don't know who the best player.
It was the caller that got mad at me talking about terrible interviewers because you didn't ask him. We want to know who's going to start, who's standing out, and I was like, dude. I know he's not going to answer that question. I feel you.
I don't know.
Yes, but I guess you're not supposed to ask Steve. Maybe he just finally cracks and just, Rain Smith.
Rain Smith, best player I've ever had.
Yeah, right. Okay.
No, I'm not. I mean, yes, of course you're supposed to ask. It's just, it's like, I don't know if James Scott's going to be good. I don't know, you know, we'll.
Is Javon Hadley going to be better than Mack Wilkinson?
Probably. But let me just say this, because you're going into all that. I'm just going off my aesthetics.
Yeah, okay, like you're right. You're right.
Javon Hadley at number one, I like that. That looks right.
Okay.
That looks right.
Javon Hadley at number one. I don't know. Number one can't be your effort guy. Number one can't be an effort guy, right?
How dare you turn Javon Hadley into effort guy?
No, grown man guy.
You have just, yeah, that's, I hope he doesn't come in studio.
It's like,
He thinks you're the effort guy.
Yeah. Let's talk for a second.
Yeah, Javon.
It's Javon.
Yeah. He's like, oh, really? The effort guy? Yeah, man. Javon just goes out there and plays real hard. And that's what we like about him, you know. No, he's going to be a good player. Actually, he was the one guy that Pat Steve brought up.
We already put him in the starting lineup, so it's obviously not Frank Anselm effort guy level.
Listen, number one. All right, you can talk to Frank, too. I like number one. Man, the number ones are pretty good, too, though. I mean, it's not as good as zeros. Mike James on every list, it feels like.
Yeah, because he changed.
Yeah. Yeah, the number ones are, they're okay.
Okay.
I mean, Carly is probably the best there. Look at Corin Johnson, man.
Corin Johnson
from Seattle. Taking the reins on number three.
That works.
With Peyton tweeted about that yesterday. He tweeted out, like, you know, I think he said something like, from Seattle, he's like, Corin Johnson's going to represent that number, you know, and stuff.
Did somebody try to go at Peyton on the TBT thing? Did you see that?
No. Oh, no.
Did you see that?
No. What?
Oh, yeah. Peyton was like, dang, like, get off my, you know, like, come on now, like, let me get started coaching first.
Oh God.
Yeah, but
again,
I don't even want to bring attention to it.
Just don't want fun. I know. Yeah.
Okay.
I
mean, so number three fits Corin.
Yeah, I think so. Sherman at number four. Don't joke. Don't make jokes. Don't be stupid. Just.
Tick Rogers.
Josh Turner, Noah Diakite, David Padgett, Rakeem Buckles, Quentin Snyder, Dylan Avar.
Four's underrated.
Four. I know. Grant Williams, Brad Colber, Roosevelt Wheeler, Tyler Johnson, Lancaster Gordon, Derwin Webb, Tick Rogers.
Four is underrated.
I know. I'm like, man, there's been some good fours. And shout out Sherman, local kid, so excited about that.
That works.
Terrence Edwards, man. Terrence Edwards going to rock the number five this
okay.
year.
Okay, what do we think? Terrence Edwards, the number five.
I think it is the most appropriate number five we've had since me and you have been on the air. Where you're going to finally be able to be like, that's the number. You know what I mean? I think you're going to finally be able – and I don't know what I mean finally, because, like, Malik and those guys did a lot of good stuff. But Brandon, whatever, you know. But to me, Terrence Edwards is going to be like, okay, number five is back in the top two players of the team. You know what I mean? Like, and – I mean, Brandon might have been last year by default, but – Jerry Eves, Alvin Sims – Marcus Maben, Brandon Bender. We'll be giving Brandon Bender some love. My guy.
I'm okay with that list. I don't know. You put the fives against any other number, we dominate.
No, I actually agree with you. because you'd have Earl Clark. Did you see somebody yesterday? The first tweet under the jersey numbers was like, how dare you leave Taquan Dean off the list? This is a sham.
Everything
was
no.
just going in on him. I was like, oh, Lord.
Oh,
I
no.
didn't have the heart to do it. I was like, somebody tell him.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he's on there.
Yeah. Changed his name. Actually, right, yeah, right there.
Yep. Changed his name.
but yeah, look, that person didn't see Taquan in like the first three, and he already just. And he snapped, and he just went,
yeah.
Like,
what is this?
He had that tweet ready.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he had already typed
it
out.
He was going to go
sure.
to a number and find the number and find one of his guys that weren't on there. And
100%.
Now, the next three are unique because this is like the first year that you can wear numbers that basically take single-digit numbers that take two hands to – yeah. So you get a 6, 7, and a 9.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. You get Rain Smith at number 6. That feels right.
That I got no problem with that.
That feels right. Kason Pryor at number 7 actually, to me, feels right.
How come? Prime number? Just
I think so. I don't know. I'm looking at, honestly, Nick.
I'm with you, though. I'm with you. Like, yeah.
I'm just looking at him, and I'm going, yeah, that makes sense. Like, that feels right. Like, I see him running down the court with his blonde hair and number 7,
would you have wanted to be a new number?
Young
Steve.
No.
You would have wanted to be a traditional number?
Yeah, I think so. We'll get to Mr. Untraditional here in just a little bit. But, yeah, no, I don't think I mean, I don't know. I maybe could have done 7 or something like that. I mean, Kenai Roos went with number 9. He was next on the list.
Okay.
That feels like it fits.
Freshman.
Come here. I'm starting to get a little extra excited about him, too, by the way.
just in general?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you're comfortable. Okay.
Move on to the teens.
Yeah, you haven't seen anyone that you didn't like yet.
No, not in those. I mean, I feel like James Scott wearing 0, I'm going to give it a chance because he can jump so high and stuff that I'm like, that might end up looking cool. So we'll see. Kobe Rogers with 11.
Mm. I
think that's what he's worn. 11. 12. Antonelli's.
Hold on. I was checking the history of the 11s.
Oh, the 11s. I know. Yeah. What are we doing? It's Dennis Evans, Fabio Basile.
Boo Brewer,
Mason Faulkner, Quinn Slezinski, Jay Henderson, Luke Hancock, Chris Brickley, Brandon Jenkins.
Dennis Evans.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Okay. Antonelli, 12.
Antonelli, 12. Yeah, I mean, we know.
Would 12s jump off the board to you?
I mean, Mango and Carlos Hurt.
Carlos Hurt, yeah.
Yeah, you know, those guys that is kind of Reggie Delk, Brad Giannini.
J.J. Trainer.
Yeah. And J.J. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even look at the bottom there. Yeah, and J.J.
Okay, 13.
Yeah, Frank Anselm.
Did he get? He was 4 last time. Did Rogers' connection to the coach just get him to 4 first?
No, 4 was four is Sherman.
Oh, okay,
he's a
walk
on. Okay, so I would imagine Frank Anselm just wanted 13.
Well, Kobe Rogers was 11 just now, right? Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, heavy is the head that wears the crown. That D'Lo wore last year, so you got to carry on 13.
B.J. Flynn.
Ooh.
Hodge Turner wore 13 also.
Bud Olson back in the day.
QB from 1933.
Yeah.
V.J. King. Hodgie.
V.J.'s another 2 number. Mark Jackson. Yeah. David Johnson, Jared West, that's solid.
Did Derwin Webb wear TZ?
Yeah, Derwin's a
the original 2 number guy.
Yep, he's on there again. I didn't even notice that.
Ray Spalding.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay.
Ali Khalifa.
Khalifa is going 15.
Number 15. I like that. That feels right. I guess because some of these guys are going to feel right because they're just keeping their same numbers. And it's like, oh, okay, well, when I watched you, that felt right. So, you know, like 15, that feels good. Feels good.
Jim Price, hold on. Kevin Walls. Man, this font is really small, Steve.
Yeah, I know. No, I've zoomed mine in. Perrin Johnson.
Simon Nadenoff.
Yeah. Samardo.
Hersey.
Hersey.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, some big shoes to fill. and then we get in the 20s, man. Now we get in the 20s. Yeah. Huh. We get Chucky Hepburn, 24.
Okay, Steve. I'm waiting for a little pushback on this.
I like my PGs to kind of be single numbers.
Right.
but Chucky has wore this number before, so I'm kind of used to it already.
Not Wisconsin, it was Nebraska.
No, Wisconsin.
It was Wisconsin. Okay, okay.
Yeah. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. But yeah, I like my point guard. I don't know. I like my point guard just to be.
What number was Quinn Snyder?
Number two and number four.
Okay. Chris Jones was four. Or was he two? Four.
Three.
God, Marcus. That's why I rely on you, Steve.
Yeah. I mean, David was 13. But Carl Eek was one. Like, I don't know. I just like my point guard to be.
Montrez.
Yeah, I know. Look at this list, man. Dwayne Sutton, Jalen Withers, Montrezl Harrell, Shane Bohannon, Russ Smith, Smarto Samuels.
24 is the only.
Those Nick Valvano's number two in hockey.
They completely
screwed up not retiring it. Because the next 24 they had was a really good player, but might have butted heads with the coaches a little bit. Could have avoided that, I'm just saying.
24 is the only number I feel like the Fives lose to.
Yeah.
That's a great number.
That's a good one. That's a good one. But they're all bigs. Well, if you got Russ. Yeah.
I'll put that on Russ. We'll be all right.
Look, Abubakar Traore, 25. I like it.
I can handle that.
I like it. I can see that flying around.
He's our athlete guy. I can wear 25.
Yeah, Zach Price, Wayne Blackshear, Lee Stiden.
Jeff McKinley.
Then Aiden McCool, still rocking 33.
Okay.
Yeah, shout out Eric Brown, Mike Mara, Jordan Wara, Bozak Smith.
Bozak. Oh, man, it's Waterman, 93.
And then Waterman just went totally off the grid.
93, wow.
Waterman went with 93.
What was that, he's born?
And here's the thing. I love it. And let me tell you why I love it. Because Waterman's aware that's just going to piss people off for no reason. Like, boy, why are you number 93? And it's like that to me, man. I'm telling you, I'm more excited for the tandem of him and Case and Pryor and what they're mentally going to do to other teams than I think I am about anything about this team.
Is Waterman a slap the ball out of your hand after the call, guy?
Yes. Yeah, him and Case and both. And the fact he's wearing 93, like I said, that is just that's annoying. Like, you should be 93.
So
I'm assuming you're
a fan and you're annoyed by 93. I'm listening. I think we lost Steve right there. Go ahead and play us out. He kind of went dry on that. But yeah, I do agree. 93 is really, really far off the grid.
I mean, yeah.
You're asking for some trouble right there. Oh, Jason Osborne at 25. Ah, good call. Was Jason, did we leave out J.O.? Shame on y'all. Jason Osborne's supposed to be on there for 25. Good call. Good text.
Yeah.
Good call, texter.
Good observation. Call. Yeah.
Rolling along, 93.9 The Ville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maybin. 8150 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, let me take a second. to give a special, special thanks and huge shout out to one of the newest members of the team. That would be Kentuckiana Pump Sales. For every home, building, business, or municipality that all rely on the movement these pumps provide. The moment you need a water or sewage pump, you should be thinking Kentuckiana Pump Sales. They're like our first responders or essential personnel. Over 35 years of experience, 36 years of experience. Best service, fairest possible price, and it's right over in Jeffersonville, Indiana. People, go see Harold or go see Mark, and they'll find out exactly what you need. Utility, sump, effluent, grinder, sewage, anything you need. 3303 Industrial Parkway, Jeffersonville, Indiana, of course. Or give them a call, 812-725-9217. Or simply visit KentuckianaPumps.com.
There it is.
Okay, so did we finished through all the numbers. We ended with Waterman at 93.
Yeah, ended with Waterman at 93. So there's a nice collection there, man, from 0 to 93.
Okay, so Steve, this is a question I had yesterday. This is a total jump out of the subjects we've been on. I did not get a chance to ask you. I was kind of, you know, thumbing through my notes from the week.
Okay.
And this has always been one of our you know, sticking points on our just opinion on a type of player, right?
Uh-huh.
And it sparked my thoughts when you surprised when you saw who's our running back for Miami?
Donald Chaney.
Chaney. Third team all ACC. Low, high, or just right?
I think it's probably just right. I was actually a little surprised to see his name on there.
Okay.
I think that is more of a Jeff Brohm. Not, I don't want to take away from Donald Chaney by any stretch, but I think that's a little bit of them saying, okay, this Louisville running back, I mean.
Or is that like, what, that's like, if he starts, he's going to put up some numbers.
Yeah, Jeff Brohm. Yes, absolutely. That's kind of what I think that was. But, I mean, and it looks like he's going to be the starter. And so I think it's one of those where they're just like, listen, man, the running back in this office or offense, I mean, what if somebody had told you, what if somebody had picked Isaac Grindo third or second team? You'd have been like, you're nuts. Well, I don't think he was that, but it's like he wasn't that far off.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, by the end of the year, yeah, he was.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I think that's one of those things where it's just a little bit of the Brohm bump where it's like, if you start running back at Louisville, we got it. I mean,
okay, how would you describe him? Is he a power back, speed back, or elusive in the paint, you know, kind of in the?
Oh, he's definitely more in the mold of Isaac Grindo.
Uh-huh.
That is more of a heavy hitter, but has breakaway speed. See, that's what separated Grindo was he was, you know, because there are bowling balls and they don't have breakaway. You know, like Don Chaney.
How is his fall forward? See, look, now we're doing our college football ranking type, you know, like, okay, what is his? Okay, because here's the thing. This is what concerns me about him. Extra yard guys scare me because they get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, like, you know.
Or fumble.
You're right. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So so when Steve's watching, is that little voice in the back of your head saying, take what you can get and get down? Or look at him fight for the extra yards?
Yeah, I mean, it's. That argument will never be settled because it always is. If a guy starts driving the pile, they're a monster. But if he drives the pile and gets stripped, he's an idiot. Like, you know,
remember when we were playing Boston College at home and they were driving the pile and we like snatched the football out and the referee retroactively like backed up and like there was no whistle blown.
Yeah,
the ball came out. We came out with the ball. The referees literally said, no. Just go back to where you lost the ball.
Yeah, I was like, what?
And do you remember that, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, God. Actually, I didn't remember that, but I do now that you're bringing
was
it up.
Was that like the worst call? I mean, there is no worst call, but that has to go up then. It, you know, because the game wasn't of such great consequence, I guess.
Yeah, but still, it was like, you're just going to say, okay, well, wherever Louisville took it, that's where we're going to give it back right. to you.
One millisecond before the ball came out.
Because somebody should have blown the whistle. Like, that was kind of their explanation. It was like, okay.
And the pile, and the pile was still moving.
Yeah. Like, that's one of those where, like, hey, man, if you're going to keep, like, that's why they had to make the rule with the quarterback slides and stuff, because the Jalen Reeves Mavens of the world are going to be like, hey, if they're going to fake slide, I'm going to hit them.
If you're going to tiptoe and dance out of bounds, act like you're not going out of bounds.
Well, that was dirty. I mean, he was a yard and a half out of bounds. So he was trying to prove a point.
He was trying to get paid, Steve.
Yeah, worked. Hey, they both ended up okay. So it's
no,
all good.
But seriously, like, wait, who was the quarterback that did that last year? Just started to go out of bounds and ended up going like 30 more yards up the sideline.
Yeah. Well, I know the one guy was from Pittsburgh. Oh, who was it? He was the kid that I think he got drafted by the Steelers.
The USC transfer that went to Pittsburgh?
That did the fake slide. Kenny Pickett. It was Kenny Pickett a few years ago.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because they did the whole Kenny Pickett rule. Right?
Okay. Yeah, because he did the fake slide and then kept running.
I would have put a bounty on him.
Yeah, and it was like, dude.
That's one of those. I go to the ref and say, if you don't do something right now, like, get ready.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, we're out here getting penalized. I mean, do you remember Ben Perry got thrown out of the first half?
Yep.
Because his helmet nicked another guy's helmet on the way down. Like, are you kidding me? And, I mean, and you're going to fake slide? Like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm going to do one of those jump off slides or something. Just I got to get my money's worth on this kid. This quarterback cannot smile after he's hit me with the fake slide.
No. You got to go full, like you said, full Saint bounty.
Oh, okay. So you're coaching. Are you saying get down to your guy, or are you just saying
it's your discretion. Yeah, it's your discretion. You got to just be you. I mean, if you're not fight for the yard guy and you're out there doing something crazy, and it's like, stop. Like, that's not you.
It's like quarterbacks, like, stop fighting for the extra yard.
Yeah, but like, I'm not, you know, I know my guys. And if that's you, you know, like, you got to run your style. Because, like I said, they're both.
Is Zeke Elliott a fight for the extra yard guy?
I don't know what Zeke Elliott is, man. Zeke Elliott got paid and he was a shell. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping that he comes back this year and he's a he got into the hurdling mode, and then it started being a show to him, and then he just stopped being a running back. It was like, what are you doing, dude?
When he just started trying to jump over everybody?
Yeah. Like, does that mean
he got tired of hitting with his head?
Yeah, I think so. And it was like, dude, you were better when you were just low to the ground and ran, dude. Like,
yeah, I think that's what happened with Jalen Hurd, too. Mm-hmm. You remember him?
Yeah.
Like, you were just running over people. I think he just started to take a toll on him. It's like, yeah, let me try to jump over somebody.
Yeah, it's like, okay. That's not going
to
work.
I think Texas says Mahomes is the king of run to the sidelines and cut it up for more yards.
Yeah.
I mean,
God forbid you touch him. They'll kill you on the spot.
Hey, bring the electrocution chair.
Yeah. I was going to say, that would be bad.
Okay, so, Steve, before we cut to it, Nikki, are we timing out about right, or what do I need to do?
Well, while you're talking with Nick and then working that out, I do want to remind everybody again of my friends out of Tri-State Men's Health. I keep telling you every day, and I'm going to keep telling you, because it's helped me. It's helped James Strebel. It's helped Mark Blankenbaker. It's helped Nick Valvano. It's helped us all kind of get on a path of something, like I said. And trust me, there are multiple options to lose weight fast. I don't recommend the stomach bug. but it works. But listen, go see Tri-State Men's Health. Guys, if you're just not feeling yourself, it could be simple as that. You could be out on a run. You could be just out doing yard work. And you're like, man, why am I not, just don't have the to push through this, man, right, like I used to. And it might not even be that you're just super tired. It might just be the mental part of like, man, I just don't have the want to go run, like the want to go work out, the want to go get the yard work done, cut the grass, do anything. Well, listen, jump on tristatemenshealth.com. Take your low-T quiz, 10 questions, take about 2 minutes, yes or no answers. If any of that applies to you, just go try them out. It's $99. It's going to be about a 39 or about a 30-minute appointment. They're going to take your blood. They're going to look at your numbers. And listen, and if you sign up for testosterone that day, you won't even have to pay that $99. But there's no stress, you don't have to buy anything in there. Everything's confidential. It's a beautiful office. Everybody is great in there. But go check them out, man. Listen, they got places here up in Ohio. They got places in Louisville. They got places in Northern Kentucky. Just anywhere. Around that area. I mean, the Cincinnati Reds, you know, I mean, they're the number one, you know, that they host the Cincinnati Reds. So it's like you want to go try them out. But that's tristatemenshealth.com. Get over there, check them out today, and tell them you heard about them right here on 93.9 DeVille.
I, too, have a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to Baranos for our lunch drop today. Serving Louisville-style pizza since 1977, Baranos Pizza, 13 area locations. Besides award-winning pizzas, they serve pasta, sandwiches, salads, apps, including chicken wings, dine-in, carry-out, delivery. Order online at baranos.com, Baranos Pizza. Yeah, it's that good. And you heard Steve mention it earlier in the show. If you want to save 15% on TBT tickets, use code TBTLOU15. That's TBTLOU, L-O-U, 15. The TBT gets going July 20th at Freedom Hall. That's TBTLOU15 for 15% off of TBT tickets. So there you go.
Can't wait, man.
Another massive chicken farm is also burning to the ground. Nothing to see here. Okay, so this is what we're going to do, good people. The good Coach Kelsey had a press conference yesterday, and broke a lot down, gave us an update, you know, the excitement about the new summer schedule, all that good stuff. We are the flagship, so we are obligated to bring you one. Coach Pat Kelsey, take it away. And away.
Coach, CD Kaplan, Card Chronicle. Have you been able to work with this new, essentially new squad long enough to develop what your defensive philosophy might be? And if so, how might that look schematically?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, it's pretty cool. Afternoon in June to have a press conference, look around, have a packed room like this. The passion for Louisville basketball never ceases to amaze me. So kudos to Cardinal Nation and to you guys for coming out. Love that question. When you ask, have I been around my guys to know enough of what our defensive identity is going to look like? We had a pretty good idea going in of what we do and how we do it defensively. Obviously, when we recruit, we take those things into consideration. Who are the type of players that kind of fit who we play? I think I might have been asked this at the press conference, the introductory press conference. I'm not sure. We are predominantly, I would say, 99.9% a half-court man-to-man team. I think it's an interesting dichotomy that we do play fast on the offensive end. There's a lot of possessions in our game. We tilt the floor. But our philosophy in the half-court is more of a half-court man-to-man team. I compare us schematically a lot to Alabama in that regard. Both have a lot of possessions in their game. They push the ball offensively, but hang their hat on a tough, tenacious, nasty half-court man-to-man defense.
Coach, how did the Bahamas thing come about? What do you hope to get out of it? Can I take us through that?
Yeah. First of all, tip of the cap to our administration for making this happen in a very, very short turnaround, because it's not something that was planned on. Again, that's the commitment of basketball being good around here and the things that it takes for basketball to be good, the wind to be at our back. And with a completely new roster, signing 13 players in 2.5 months, coming from parts all over, you're limited in a lot of ways in terms of the NCAA rules in the amount of time you can be on the floor with your players per week. I'm sure all you guys are aware of this, maybe not the specifics, but 4 hours is the time that you're allowed to spend on basketball. That includes film, that includes anything on the floor. Obviously, you have additional time for other things like strength and conditioning. The total number of hours is 8. When you go on a foreign trip, the NCAA allows you, on top of those, you know, 4 hours that you have throughout the week, to have 10 full practice days, the time of type of practice days that you would have throughout the course of the season, where there aren't those type of limitations. So it's great. It really allows us to speed up kind of the growth curve of this team, both implementing what we do, how we do it, our system, our terminology, teaching guys how we practice. The philosophy being that, you know, when we get to the end of those 10 practices, we get a great head start, you know. So when we get back together, when it really, really starts ramping up and it counts for real, when practice starts at the end of September and the beginning of October, we could look back to these 10 practices and go, man, you know, we're way farther ahead than we should have been. So that was the main point of it. Obviously, these foreign tours, there's a cultural aspect to it as well, where you get to leave the country, go somewhere else. That's going to be cool. The other part of it is just the team building, the team chemistry, the camaraderie, the rapport, through getting to spend more time together on the floor, and then, you know, obviously going on a trip together and being at a pretty darn cool hotel and resort for a while, getting to know each other, putting some suntan lotion on, swimming, doing a little wave surfing or whatever the crap you call it, potty surfing. So we're going to have a good time as well. So I think we'll be further along in terms of our basketball system, and we'll be further along in terms of, you know, what we call the power of the unit.
We'll talk about Pat. Thank you. You know, just thinking back to, you know, the first few weeks of summer workouts, is there a moment that sticks out to you where you kind of seen these guys, you know, show off and, you know, compete the hardest? Like, has there been a moment that sticks out where you think about, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of a moment where I thought they competed the hardest, I think that's been something that I've been, I don't want to say pleasantly surprised or pleased with, because I expect it. I mean, I think these guys going hard as crap every day. They're working hard. That's one of the things we hang our hat on, is competing, right? And we compete in June, we compete in July, we compete in the preseason, we compete in practice in January and February. So that is always at the kind of center of what we do. Is there one moment? Is there one loose ball? Is there one charge? Is there one crash the glass for an offensive rebound and a tip and a put back? I don't know if I could pick one right now, but the dudes have been getting after it and they're playing hard, competing.
Talk about team camaraderie and bringing this group together. It's a group of veterans, obviously, except for one really talented freshman. In these early stages, are you seeing maybe a couple guys step to the forefront as far as from a leadership perspective?
It's a good question. I mean, with an older group, savvy veteran guys, and they've been successful where they've been, and they come from good programs and good coaches, and they all, I would say, they lead in their own ways. You know, some guys are a little bit more vocal. Javon Hadley, you know, as a for instance. I'm picking him out, but because, you know, you hear his voice a lot. You know, he's, and then there's other guys that lead more by, you know, what they do in their example. You know, they're guys that are in the gym early, that are in there late, how they go about their business. So I like to think we have a team full of guys that lead, and that lead in different ways. I mean, even the young dudes. Kanai, you know, he's been awesome since he's been here. He was away last year at the high school he went to, so he's a little bit used to being away, being in a dorm, living away from mom and dad. He goes about his business like a vet. James Scott, I've talked about him ad nauseum, just the advanced basketball mind that he has and the advanced approach to work. So I'm proud of even those young guys, not just the old guys, in terms of how they're going about stuff.
Yeah, when you guys ask a question, make sure you identify yourself so the coach can put a name to a face. So go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Jeff Lighty here. Coach, just
Does anybody that's standing out, I know you had limited practice, but is anybody that's standing out so far after recruiting 13 new guys?
That's hard to say. I can't sit here on June 25th and go, man, this guy, you know, they're everybody's shown flashes. Listen, the June part of this, and I've been doing this a long time. My staff, it drives them nuts. I always say this. I've been doing this a long time. I think I'm a dinosaur now. When you get to, I don't know what point in your career where you're considered a dinosaur. I see some of these young coaches, and I'm starting to feel like an old coach. Certain social media apps they're on and crap like that, I'm like, holy man. But there's been times where everybody has done some really good things. And June is, it's a breakdown period, right? You guys have heard it, and some of you have written articles on it. Just our approach to strength and conditioning at the beginning when guys come in, and that's, we talk about competing and we talk about toughness, two things that we take pride in. We think part of that is our approach to the weight room and strength and conditioning and being the toughest, most competitive team on the floor. Every time we take the floor, that's our goal, is part of it in there. And they get broken down, they get beat up a little bit, so kind of build it slowly in terms of what we do on the floor. First couple of weeks it's more small group skill development type things where we're implementing our system that way, and then toward the end of every week, and then a little bit more as we've gotten to the end of it, we've done a little bit more team stuff. But there's been a lot of guys that have been highlights on different days.
CL Brown with the Courier Journal. Before NIL was approved.
Yeah, I mean, our three things, relentless effort, competitive excellence, and the power of the unit. I've said that a lot, and maybe it gets boring in interviews and press conferences, but we believe it in so much. The power of the unit is the uncommon commitment to the guy next to you. In this new age, with that being a dynamic and being a factor in every locker room around the country, I think the teams that have the maturity, the wherewithal to be professionals and go about their business every day, regardless of those things, and be committed to the good of the whole and to love your teammates, right? And that's a nonstop, everyday dynamic and everyday process that we're selling our culture and selling the commitment to the guy next to you. Listen, you walk down any business in America down the hallway and you look into that office, that office, that office, that office, everybody makes different amounts of money, right? And it shouldn't be the type where you're going and comparing. That's just not the world. This is more grown-up stuff now. And for an enterprise to reach its potential, everybody has to be committed to winning and be committed to the ultimate goal of the team being successful. And that's just part of the dynamic every day of what we do, what we sell to our team.
Eric Crawford, WDRB. Pat, there's so much data now when you're out recruiting that from a basketball standpoint, you get out there and look at these guys, you have a chance to kind of compare what they are on the court to what you thought they would be on film and with the data. Does this team look the way that you hoped it would look from that standpoint? I know there's no data with personality.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned I've been doing this a long time. I'm a dinosaur. You don't evaluate in June. You don't. You don't, especially in this new world. I mean, yes, what we saw on tape, we see in person. I know the caliber of people and players that we have, but at least I can't, you know, and especially in this new world where you have transfers and new players coming in. A lot of times there's a lot of parts. This time, 13. It's a completely new team. And everything being new, this environment, this building, the strength and conditioning, the terminology, the system, new teammates, new relationships, you know, not just here, everywhere, heads are spinning, you know. So what a big emphasis on us is these first several weeks is our process, is how we go about our daily business. The attention to detail and the excellence in the weight room every day and each repetition in the thing. When we go to practice, the energy we have to bring, the attention to detail. This is how we do it. This is our process. And if you can be very, very consistent with that, I believe, throughout the course of not just a few summer weeks, not just two summer months, not just 3 or 4 months, but if you can stay consistent till the final buzzer sounds, you know, good things happen. The outcome takes care of itself. And through adversity, through the ups and downs of a season. So I'll be able to let you know, heck, not even at the end of the summer, maybe not even after the Bahamas. There's always that time when it's like, here we go. It's clicking. I'm feeling it. You know, and some teams, it happens like that. Some teams take a little bit longer. My team at Charleston 2 years ago, a lot of new faces, man, and it just clicked sooner. and shoot, we won a million games out of the box and ended up winning 31 games. Last year, we stunk early. We stunk. And, you know, the world is, the ceiling's falling. What the heck? They were top 25 last year, and we went up to this deal at the Naval Academy, and we stunk. Consistent. We ended up winning a million straight. I might be able to tell you in 3.5 weeks. I might be able to tell you in 3.5 months. But, you know, staying focused on that process, that's boring as crap to say, and you guys roll your eyes, but that's what we do.
Coach Corey here. How important to you has it been to have a guy like Peyton Siva help revitalize a program?
I mean, Peyton Siva in any organization makes them better. I mean, in our program, yes, he makes us better. Peyton Siva's in the law firm down the street, the car dealership, the restaurant, the school. What? Car dealership? Kelsey Chevrolet from our family to yours. I always throw that in there. He's just a world-class dude, man. I mean, he's obviously basketball, brilliant, accomplished, national champion, all the stuff that we say all the time. But he's just a world-class dude. He just lights up a room. He brings energy. I love guys that go about their daily business with a smile on their face. Peyton feels blessed to be in this building and back in this program, but he feels blessed to be walking around with his kids in the community. But yes, Peyton makes us better, and I love having him.
Matt McGavick, Sports Illustrated. Pat, going back to the roster construction front, the majority of the players either are coming from teams who went to the NCAA tournament or have some sort of postseason type accolade, like Conference Player of the Year, Tournament Player of the Year, so on and so forth. Was that something you sort of took into account when putting together the roster in an attempt to maybe like lay the foundation for the culture you're wanting to establish here?
I mean, it's a factor. When we look into things decide who we're going to recruit and who we're going to go after, they win. We take that into consideration. I mean, it's not always you could get a really good player that was just in a bad situation that didn't win where he was at. But, you know, you like – that's definitely something that you consider. A guy's come from winning programs for sure.
Mr. Tony, KY Sports TV. I'm curious about – what you've seen out of the guys so far as who's going to be the dogs on your roster, and what is your approach to putting together your starting five?
Who the dogs? I mean, hopefully got a bunch of them. You know, it's like picking out who stood out. You know, picking out who's the dog. I mean, dogs are competitors. Dogs are winners. Dogs are. You know, guys that don't back down, that grit their teeth, that bow their neck, that I like to think we got a bunch of them. In terms of my approach to deciding our starting lineup, compete. There's nobody in that locker room that was promised anything in recruiting, and there's nobody in that locker room that's been promised anything to this point. I really cannot have a starting lineup conversation until probably the day before the first game. You might say, oh, this is the guys that started in the Bahamas. Well, those are the guys that were the most productive in practice, right, up to that point. Maybe not. But there's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah. Rick Bozich, WDRB. When you have 13 guys, I mean, you're starting, as you said, completely over. What's the most challenging thing to establish, first of all, to get them to buy in?
The most challenging thing to get them to buy. I don't think there's a big challenge to create buy-in. We got a lot of guys that are, I'd say all of them, they're leaning forward, they're eager, they're receptive. You know, because it could be easy for somebody that's been somewhere for a long time, that's caught in their ways, that, you know, this is the way I've done it. They've been awesome. They've been completely open, accepting to what we do and how we do it, which has been awesome. I don't know if this is the most challenging thing, but terminology. Because in basketball, I mean, there's a universal basketball language, but different programs call different actions, different things, and different, you know, so sometimes that takes a little bit of getting used to. And then just, not only, I mean, I feel like our guys are doing an unbelievable job of bonding off the court, right? I mean, whether we do team functions, just them hanging around, there seems like there's a great rapport. But then there's a rapport that has to be built over time on the floor, you know, especially guys have been in a certain program for a long time and kind of know when this guy yings, I yang, and when he zigs, I zag. And part of that is a process that will take some time as we go through the rest of the summer and into the preseason.
Last four questions, guys, you have mics. Tim, then Ken.
Tim Sullivan, parts unknown. Two questions. One, this basketball program is dependent on for revenue in this athletic department, and you as a coach are also kind of a public figure, more than kind of. Are you getting spread too thin at all in the demands of trying to be that public personality? The second question is, what's the story on the tattoo?
I'm trying to think which one I want to answer first. The first part of the question is, are you getting spread too thin? I've said this, I think, at my press conference. I can't remember, but somebody told me in business a long time ago that you don't have to be the smartest one in the room, but it's helpful, and you better own the smartest room. I got a smart room. I got unbelievable support staff around me, right? You talk about fundraising, you know, if you mention that, but meeting people and cultivating relationships, and people that we have in this department that do that and make it conducive for me within my schedule. Like, you have to meet with this person. Boom, that person's in my office this morning at 9 a.m. I can't tell you who it is. And man, I enjoy that. I love building relationships with people and interacting with people. It's one of the things I'm passionate about. But they do a great job of, they're like point guards, man. They set the table for me. They're great assist guys. And it's important for me, like all basketball players do, when somebody throws you a great assist, you got to point to the passer. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm acknowledging the help that I have. The people that, man, Steph, who's my executive assistant, unbelievable. You know, you see Lottie back there. You see Rocco. You see. No, I think the support that I have and the way that people look out for me and value my time and know what the most important things that I have to do and then lead me in that direction, and I trust them implicitly, it's allowed me to focus on right now what's most important, and it's those young men over there in that locker room. But trust me, man, I know there's 1,000 plates that I have to spin. I know the significance and the importance of basketball being successful at this university and how that impacts the rest of the city. I'm well aware of that. But I think the people that are in place to help me has made that job much, much easier. Oh, the tattoo. I mean, it was late in life. My daughter, like, I walked in, she was like, who are you? Like, what in the heck has happened? She was crying. I at Winthrop a couple years ago, I told the guys, If we go to the tournament, I'll get a tattoo. And if we go to the Sweet 16 this year, I think it was 21. It was the year we came here and played in the bubble thing with DJ Burns was on our team, Chandler Baldwin. We had a really, really good team. And I said, if we go to the Sweet 16, I'm getting a sleeve all the way down here. That's what I told him. And we went to the tournament, so I got it. We didn't go to the Sweet 16, so here's it at. So I don't know what it's going to take at Louisville for me to get the sleeve. Josh Hurd right now is crapping his pants hearing me say that. So we'll jump off that bridge when we cross it.
Kent Taylor, WLKY. You mentioned, you talked about some of the outside things you have to do. Earlier this week, you sent out a video to season ticket holders.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Renewals are due here coming up on July 1st. Make the case
July
for people.
July 1st, like, you know, it's, you know, people's hard-earned dollar are hard-earned, you know, and they have a lot of choices in today's day and age. I mean, obviously, in this town, I know important basketball is, and I know the passion that people have for it, and I know it's been a little bit of a tough time here recently, but, you know, I would passionately convey to the people of this town to give us a chance and give this team a chance. Can't make promises in life because you can't always, but the thing I'm going to tell you is it's going to be a team you're going to be proud of. So, yeah, July 1st, a big, big day. People that are listening out there, give Louisville basketball a chance again. And then, you know, the other thing is, you mentioned the NIL world, how important, right, NIL is, and the 502 circle and the guys over there, man, they work their tails off. And for our fan base that's listening out there, y'all know how important that is. And we ask people to step up, and y'all have stepped up. And we need you to continue to. You know, people say all the time, like, you know, I love Louisville basketball. I think the thing that we're asking you to do in the 502 circle and the NIL space is to show your love, right? And everybody's in different situations, depending on, you know, what your financial situation is. But contributing to that is a big, big deal. That's the lifeblood of collegiate basketball. And like I said, those guys are working their butts off, and we're very, very lucky to have them here in Louisville as a part of what we're building. So thank you for those that have, and I'd ask you guys to continue to consider being a part of that initiative.
Yeah, Brooke Sultan again from the CJ. Did I cut someone off? I'm sorry, Kendrick.
What do we say before? 22,000 people, everybody gave $100. That's $2.2 million. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but not that anyway.
So when we spoke last, I guess just several weeks ago, you mentioned, you know, that Michael Cassidy has a bunch of, you know, he has like, you know, just like a books upon books of, you know, like your offensive system. I'm just wondering, you know, how much do you plan to get those installed, or, you know, do you have an expectation for, you know, just, you know, just, yeah, you know, just how far along?
Great question. That's an awesome question. Now, the installation process takes a while, and it evolves throughout the course of the season. The guts and the core of what we do and how we play offensively is based on more randomness. We call it the beauties in the randomness, and our flow and how we play after makes and after misses and after an action breaks down. And there is a method to that madness as well. But obviously your ability to execute, you know, set plays and getting certain players certain shots at different parts of the floor at different parts of the game is very important, and that's a process that kind of evolves. We've began to introduce some of those things, kind of the shapes we play out in some of our set plays. Mike's really, or my staff's really, really good, and I value those guys tremendously. They do an unbelievable job in the areas they're responsible for, and I think one of the things that we've done a good job of, and Mike's really good at this, is he takes the complicated and makes it simple. So in his mind, in my mind, in terms of the offensive coordinator, for instance, it could be complicated in his mind, but the way that maybe you organize, you structure, you label, you name your terminology, it simplifies it for the players. That might not make a lot of sense, but sometimes it takes a ton of time, like hours and hours and hours and hours, to come up with a method to simplify it for the guys, you know. And I think we've done a good job of that over the years. We've started to do some of that the last couple practices. The guys have been great. They have fun with it. We talk about GBT all the time. I might have said this before. I hate when I say stuff twice, but Joe Madden, who's the I forget who he's coaching now, but he used to be the coach of the Cubs when he used to kick the Reds' butt. And he used to say, GBT, great baseball talk. He loves great baseball talk. He loves guys talking X's and O's in the dugout, in the hotels, on the airplanes. And we value GBT here. We have a veteran group that loves to talk hoop.
Coach Kendrick Hastings from Wave. When you have a team full of new guys like that, how much does it help that you brought a couple of guys over with you from mm-hmm. Charleston and know what to expect from practices,
yeah,
or what your expectations are,
so,
and relay that?
Yeah, Rain Smith, James Scott, Kobe Rogers are three guys that obviously are ahead of the curve in terms of all that because they know it all already. And that's been great. It's been awesome to have those guys. First of all, they're winning players. They're championship players. They helped us do a lot at Charleston. They're great communicators. They're great teammates. So in not a way like I'm a know-it-all, I know what I'm talking about, and you don't. They do a good job in their own way of, I know Coach Kel seems a little crazy right now, this is what he means by that. You know what I mean? One of those deals. So, no, it's awesome to have some of those guys that kind of know our deal.
Coach, thanks.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you.